I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thanks for coming along today. It's a celebration for our 500th podcast, which is quite mental when you think about it.
How many years is that then?
It was 2013.
March 6, 2013. Of course, Gareth remembers that.
Oh, God, remember. The exact date and time and everything. So we're grateful that the people listen, and we've got to the stage where we are now. We're nice and cosy in a nice little... in a little setting like that. So make sure you come up and speak to us if you want. We'll have a drink afterwards and stuff. We've got no real time limit on things tonight. We're just gonna see what happens. We're going to wing it, as you said, didn't we?
Always the best way, Steve.
Always the best way. You're living back in Sunderland, slaves, now, aren't you?
Of course. I was always going to come back, wasn't I? Or a place to live, eh?
Yeah, just till you build a better house, though.
I'm living with the in-laws at the moment, so I'm hoping these builders will hurry up.
Can we show our appreciation for Stephen Elliott first of all, please? Right, it's been a bit of a quiet day today, Sleeves. It's been a while since you've been on. You haven't been on this season because of your coaching's getting in the way and stuff like that. I don't want people to think you're falling out, Russ. It's just because you're not available on the nights we do it, right? Well, that's what you told me anyway.
Well, do you want the truth, yeah?
Is that on? Yeah. Have you turned it on?
What are you trying to say, Frankie?
No, yeah, I've missed a few of the podcasts. I actually did pick up a bit of that norovirus last week, so I actually was going to turn up until I got hold of the flu. So, but now, yeah, I've toned just down a few times. I apologise for that. Hopefully, I'll get back on in the near future.
Media trained answer that, if I've ever heard one, wasn't it?
You're on it now, so I mean,
you've achieved the goal.
Well, I'm on the 500 show, so I'm very, very proud to be here, and fair play just doing that many.
So, your opinion then, we haven't spoken to you this season, Stephen, about where we are as a club and the situation. Obviously, Methven's left today. Any opinions on that straight away?
Yeah.
You all wanted us to go straight into that, right?
I don't know. Everybody's aware of what's going on. There's a lot of noises being made behind the scenes and that, but it's looking from the outside in at the club, it's not really great at the minute, is it? You got to look at the football club, a huge football club, and it's kind of mid-table in the tour division. It's abysmal, and something has to be changed. Whether getting rid of Charlie Methven is the right thing to do, time will tell, but I think it's a start of hopefully seeing a little bit more positivity around the place, because over the last few weeks it's been nothing but negativity, and it hasn't helped anybody involved with the club.
How early were you concerned about the ownership and about the way things are going? Because last season you seemed okay with it.
Well, I think everybody was happy enough last year when the new owners came in. There was a great buzz around the place. A lot of support. All the supporters have made themselves clear about wanting Ellis Short out of the club and kind of a fresh start. Obviously, getting relegated down to the tour division wasn't ideal, but there was hope last year, the way the team were playing, that we were looking really strong to get back up, back up to the championship by first attempt. And realistically, towards the end of last season, that was still kind of highly possible. And the fact that the club failed to kind of get out of the division last year was a big problem. And it was one of them where you're thinking, oh God, because ultimately you look at the squad last year, I would say it was probably stronger last year than what we have at the minute.
So were you worried in the summer when we started to lose players like Lee Cattermole and
a little bit,
Adam Matthews?
Yeah, because I just think sometimes like you look at players like that, they're hard to replace, and I think you have to look at some of the players. You only have to look at the list of the players that have been recruited into the club since the new owners have come in. Like, nothing against the lads. a lot of them probably dream moves to come to a club like.
Go on, name one.
Where do I start? Isn't it? Baldwin, for example, I'm sure he's a nice fella. Like, but ultimately, like every time he played a game, you could tell he wasn't up to kind of playing. In my opinion, as I said, football's all about opinions, and everyone's entitled to one. But for me, when you sign somebody like him, he wasn't good enough to. And kind of you go along with that. The likes of Leuven's, Glenn Leuven's coming in, another guy similar age to myself, to give him a 2-year deal. I don't know. It was kind of like having to get the club out of the division at that kind of last season. Otherwise, after that, there wasn't really a plan B. And ultimately, this season is kind of a consequence of that.
Jeez, Lewis. You do get that thing as a fan, though, because in the summer you would have been like, oh, well, it is going to be better. We have strength in this area. We have strength in that area. You do convince yourself, don't you, because you've got that optimism and hope and that going into the new season generally, and you do tend to give yourself a little bit of leeway, don't you, in that regard, and you kind of go, oh, well, yeah, we've got rid of this person, we've got what we need to do for these reasons, and then we brought this person in, he's got this pedigree, and I'm sure that, you know, he's done this and he's done that, and I'll be all right. I do feel as though a little bit like the, you know, the rhetoric around the club and the ownership and stuff like that bought into that a little bit and kind of manipulated it a little bit, so, like, you know, they can kind of ride on the crest of that wave a bit of people's optimism, like, which is, you know, football fan optimism is generally based in nothing. So, because, you know, rarely teams win anything apart from the same old ones who win anything. So it just does feel a little bit like we are sort of prone as football fans having the wool pulled over our eyes, and it feels as though that's something that's been going on for maybe a long time.
Garrett, I think last year, I think you got to look back to last, kind of probably this time last year. I think a big thing for the club was when Josh Madgett, I know people go, he'd scored, I think, 15 goals for the club from the 16, was it? Sorry, 16 goals for the club from the start of the season till before Christmas, and that's a lot of goals kind of in a football team. And listen, he was a huge player. People talked about him not really being the complete striker. But for me, he was, because he was scoring goals every week, half a chance, and he was putting the ball in the net. And he was partly the reason why Sunderland were getting results in that first period of the season. And I say, I'm not totally aware of what kind of contract or what the situation was with himself for the agent, but not getting him signed up till the end of the season was a huge mistake. Obviously, hindsight is a great thing. You can look back and say, if only. But I think whoever was making the decisions at the club, I think sometimes, especially when in that forward position, when players are informed or scoring goals, you sometimes just have to kind of maybe do something that doesn't feel quite right just to get the club out of the division. Like, and to lose a player like Josh Madgett, all them goals out of the club, was a big ask to replace. And I know, obviously, Will Grigg had come in with great potential and great pedigree at this level, but it hasn't for one reason or another quite worked out for him so far. And I think that was a big start of the kind of downfall last year, and even towards the end of last season it was a huge chance missed. The team, I think, at times they turn a couple of them, even three or four of them draws into wins, and the club are going to go up automatically. And the club itself made a mistake. That was whether it was the management, Jack Ross, when he was here, and some of the players maybe just not doing quite enough. But it was always going to be an uphill struggle this season, and it's been proven. Whereas I think last year was a really, really big missed opportunity. And I think, obviously, like I said, hindsight is a great thing. But Josh Madgett should have been kept on till the end of the season alone, because even then, if he hadn't scored any more goals from Christmas till the end of the season, he would have been under contract, and there would have been a lot of money paid for him in the summer if he still wanted to go. So for me, that was a huge mistake by the club.
Do you think that was their first mistake? Because the owners come in and they were quite bullish about everything, and it was all sticking your chest out and we're Sunderland and we're too big for this and we're too big for that. And we all bought into it to an extent, some more than others. But when Josh Madgett, we knew his contract was up, and they went public and said he has until this time to sign a contract, and that backfired on them, didn't it? Do you think that was where things started to unravel?
Probably, yeah. And I don't think Josh Madge is a young lad as well, so obviously he's being dictated by his agent or his representatives, and they're telling him what to do and that. But ultimately, they should have given the contract, whether it was a little bit more than what the club were willing to pay. They should have paid it. For me, a striker scoring goals, if they had kept Josh Madger last year, I think the club would have been promoted. I think he was in great vein of form, young, kind of played with a freedom, didn't let the crowd bother him, because when you're young, you just play with that freedom, nothing really affects you. And then you bring in a big money signing, and straight away there's pressure with the whole kind of the song. I think the song kind of put pressure on him, along with the Will Griggs song, because everybody's waiting for the song, and it just didn't quite come along. And I felt a bit sorry for Grigg last season, because it just didn't happen for him. And ultimately, the club just didn't have enough quality towards the end of the season. They just set back, and it was really frustrating. Even the playoff final, they were there for the beating and practically gave us a lead. And we just, I don't know, it was like, just didn't quite believe that we could go up. And obviously that stemmed from obviously maybe the management staff into the players, and obviously losing a few players like we did in the summer. And the players that have come in haven't quite kind of lived up to the expectancy that a club like Sunderland kind of, well, the standards expected in this division especially.
So what do you think it is with Grigg? What's the issue, do you think? Is it the style of football? Is it something with him personally? Can he not handle the pressure of playing for a club this size? Or
I don't know Will Grigg personally, except, but looking at him, you can't turn around to me and tell me he looks like a player that's happy to be at the club. But I know that the manager's come out and says that's just the way he is, that's his demeanour, his personality. But you got to help yourself sometimes, especially as a forward. If you're not scoring goals, you got to do a little bit. You got to help yourself a little bit, kind of. You got to give a little bit back at times. You know what I mean? It's like, it's all fine saying, yeah, I don't get too excited if I score a goal, this, that, and the other. But ultimately, you're up front. You're the start of the team. You're the start of the defence. You're the start of the attack, and everything is kind of dictated by how you react. And if I'm a player in Sunderland now at the moment, I look up on Will Griggs, he's not filling me with confidence. Never mind that he's not scoring goals, but it's just his body language, his demeanour on the pitch. And that he would be seen as one of the senior lads, somebody with a lot more experience at these levels. Like we say, he scored lots of goals at this level. He's got to do more. There's a young squad playing at a club like Sunderland. There's big, big expectancy. And maybe he can't deal with it. I'm not sure. I don't know. But it looks to me as if he just doesn't seem happy. And when you're not happy, it's very hard to play well, because you need to be playing with, I think you need to play with a smile on your face. You've got to be happy. You should be privileged to be kind of running out at the stadium of light in front of 30,000 every week. It's something that, it's a great thing. And if when people say, oh, he's not happy and he doesn't want to be here, he's away from his family. But listen, it's a short career. You need to do more. And I'm not just blaming Will Grigg. It sounds like I'm digging him out. But ultimately, he is the kind of, he was the star sign. And you pay that amount of money, it's not his fault the club paid that money. It was probably overpriced, but you got to do a little bit more and find something that makes him tick. And to be fair to Parkinson, he has stuck with him, but there comes a time where you think, do you know what, maybe this isn't working. And you look
at it's part of that, though, because yeah, there's nobody else, is there?
Well, that's it. There's obviously injuries. Charlie Wyke,
he's back in contention.
Well, this is the thing with Charlie. I know Charlie. I played with Charlie at Carlisle, and he's a good lad. He's a kind of a good standard League One player, but the recruitment wise, we signed the player and he had a long term injury. He missed a lot of football when we first signed him, came back in, got injured again through no fault of his own, then come back in, plays and get in. So we've not really seen enough of Charlie White to kind of decide whether he's been a success or not. But ultimately, you'd have to say he's been a failure, because he hasn't been on the pitch.
He doesn't score goals either, does he?
So. Well, he hasn't scored goals because he don't score goals in the physio room, mate. You know, so.
But no, I mean, when he has played.
No,
though,
no, yeah, it's
he, but he hasn't. His goal records are not better than Griggs.
Yeah, no, but he might suit the way Phil Parkinson is looking to play, and I think.
Can you tell me what that is, out of interest? Because I'm struggling to work it out. I mean,
well, it's not great. Obviously, everybody watches them week in, week out. It's abysmal. Like some of the clubs that are kind of turning Sunderland over quite easy now. That's the sad state of affairs that the club is at the moment. The likes of Lincoln, Wickham, no disrespect to these clubs, Shrewsbury, Oxford in the Cup. It's like, how is this kind of happening? But again, I don't know what the answer is. I think Charlie White coming back fit could be, in my opinion, that might be Phil Parkinson's last roll of the dice, because I think he's really under pressure. If he loses the next game, and then, I don't know, can the club stick with a manager that potentially could win three of his first 12 games in this division? I don't know. I know people say he's only just in the door, but look at Watford. They got rid of the manager quite soon, and because he wasn't getting results. Sometimes you got to act quick, but I'm not making these decisions. And again, I don't know who is making these decisions.
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? So, we got rid of Ross because we wanted someone who could win games, not just win games, but win them convincingly. And we've gone from winning and drawing to just not. Well, he's got an 18% win ratio or something.
Well, what
I mean, it's infinitely worse than what we had before.
Listen, I'm not saying that Jack Ross should have been kept on, because ultimately I think it was getting a bit stale with Jack. There was a little bit of a kind of feeling that he kind of... last year he's missed his chance. And I think Jack Ross was a good man. I think he might go on and have a decent career in management. We don't know. He's still a young coach, and he always came across really well when he spoke and that. So I wouldn't kind of speak badly of Jack Ross. I think it was the right time for him to part with the club. But ultimately, you have to look at what when he went, I think everybody was expecting somebody to come in and kind of lift the place and a kind of a I don't know, like somebody with a little bit more than...
More charisma.
Yeah, maybe. But the thing for me is, like, if you're sacking a manager, you have to have a... I know you're not meant to speak to these guys, but you have to have a plan in place. For me, there wasn't really a plan in place. You sacked the manager because, in my opinion, I think the noises that were being made by certain supporters probably swayed the owner's decisions on that one. And ultimately, it's looked like a bad decision now because of how bad the team have been since Parkinson has come in. But I don't know.
Is that just because they've picked the wrong manager, basically?
Well, yeah, I think that it was a perfect opportunity there to maybe push the boat out, get a big kind of...
Who did you have your eye on? Anybody?
Well, I anybody but Parkinson, to be honest with you. No, but like...
Well, why... I mean, Stendhal. No, like, I mean, why didn't they look at Stendhal?
There was other lads
just
mentioned. I'm probably going on overground. Probably not everybody's cup of tea, but like the likes of Mick McCarthy there, he's an Ireland manager. I see Stoke have gone for the dual management with Michael O'Neill, but listen, Mick would have come in and got more out of that squad. I guarantee, I know a walking him. There was other lads available. Did he ask the question of Roy Keane? Would he come in? He says he wouldn't have mind doing it. Like, obviously, I know Kevin Phillips. That would have been a big kind of a fan pleaser to being no experience in the game, obviously. But at this stage, would he have done any worse than what's happening at the moment? And what would have happened, though, if you appointed somebody with that little bit more of a kind of aura about them, there would have been a buzz created in the ground, in the stadium, in the city. And players feed off that electric energy. Players feed... Trust me, I've been there when Roy came in. You do feed off that as a player, and sometimes you need that little bit of lift, that little bit, fuck, man, he's going to kick fuck out of me if I don't start running about here, whereas I don't know
if anyone else has that effect that Roy Keane has.
No, but you know
it.
But you know what I mean? Like, whereas, like, when Phil Park...
I thought he was going to be here in Arby, wasn't he?
No, but it's like when Phil Parkinson comes in, it doesn't really get people off the edge of their seat. And it wasn't like usually when a new manager comes in, everybody's buzzing going to the ground and there's an excitement again. And it just didn't feel that way. And ultimately, the results aren't going well. And listen, it's difficult. It's a difficult job when you come in. And no disrespect to the squad of players there. They're in my opinion, they're a bang average League One team at the minute. And they're showing that by their performances. But I think there was a chance there for the club to create that little bit of electric energy in the city. And they turned it down, which was a big mistake.
The thing is, though, when we made the change, it was all about, well, this squad should be much better than fifth or sixth in League One. And then we get this situation, it's like, oh, well, all the players are crap. It's like, well, which one is it? Like you say, all we needed somebody to come in and just give an extra 10% out of them.
But Gareth,
whether it was, you know, somebody with experience or, you know, I'm not saying that you necessarily need to appoint like someone like Kevin Phillips or whatever just to give people a lift, because that can go as badly as it can go well.
Yeah, but you don't know until you try.
You don't know until you try, and obviously they've gone. And the point is, when Stuart Donald went on to Total Sport after the sacking of Jack Ross and said that, the question was, what kind of manager are you looking to appoint? And his immediate answer was, someone who's going to get us promoted. Firstly, you cannot guarantee that the manager you appoint is going to get you promoted. So it's not really an answer. And I made this point before. It's all very well saying, oh, well, you employ someone like Phil Parkinson. Yeah, it's a fictional record. Is averaging that division's at 1.9 points per game, which I think is about the same or fewer than Jack Ross achieved in his first season at this level. He's been promoted twice in, 16 years from this division, although he did stabilise Colchester in the Championship.
But you got
the point is, I'm trying to make, I guess, is you when you're at the ground and you're going to the game and you want to enjoy the match in some capacity, the problem is if you employ somebody who doesn't play very good football but get results, and then they do not get results, all you are watching is an average League One team not getting results. Well, and nobody wants to see that.
But Gareth,
it was a waste of time appointment.
But I'm saying, for me, whoever is making the football decisions, I don't know exactly who that is at the moment, but whoever's making it should have recognised the new man. This should have been all in place by getting rid of Ross. They should have had a plan in place. I don't know for sure if they did have a plan, but by the amount of time...
Like the way Spurs... Yeah, well, Pochettino and then Mourinho walked so in the same day.
Now, I'm not saying you can't compare it to Spurs, obviously. It's a total...
I wasn't saying we're bringing Mourinho.
No, but I'm just saying...
Pochettino is still available, though. So,
you do need a plan, though. You've got to recognise the squad of players that are available to the son of manager now. They're not really suited to the way, well, wherever way that is, that Phil Parkinson wants to play. And for me, you look at the players on the pitch at the minute, and they look a little bit confused too. And straight away, that creates kind of little clicks in the team, because when things aren't going well, like, people look to dig each other out. And I look at that squad of players there, and I'm looking for the real leaders. Like, for example, we mentioned Aidan McGeady. You know, I'm a big fan of Aidan's, but I have to say this year he's been like a different player. He doesn't look like anywhere near the player he was last season. Now, for me, somebody has to come in and get him playing to the best of his ability, because he still could be the key to getting out of this league. And we need to find somebody that can get him playing again, because at the moment he looks a quarter of the player he was last year. And he's a big, big top quality player at this level, and we're not seeing anywhere near.
I don't think he's anywhere near as good, but Maguire looks completely disinterested as well. Max Power, whatever you think about him, he looks like he gives a shit at least. He's screaming at people on Tuesday against Burton because he doesn't know where he's supposed to be, let alone anyone else. And I have never seen a football team supporting Sunderland, and I've seen some crap teams supporting Sunderland. I've never seen a team where the gaps between midfield and forward and then defence and midfield is so huge. There's like no partnerships on the pitch anywhere.
Watching that game against Burton, it was like, when in the 15-point season, we used to try and play out from the back, and we couldn't. So we'd get to like the halfway line and give the ball away. So we couldn't even get out of our half. And it was a bit like that. I mean, were you at the Burn?
Steve's played in that team, if you want to ask him about it.
Well, actually, no, he didn't, because Andy Gray and John Stead came instead. But my point is, you were at that game, and you go to a lot of Sunderland games. I can't remember, and I've been going for 20-odd years, whatever. I can't remember seeing a team disintegrate. And we've been in some terror, and we've been, even when we got beat off like Villa and we're 4-0 down at half time, we didn't disintegrate that badly in that game compared to that Burton
game. And we didn't disintegrate against the League One Burton team that were 15th. They weren't even close to us in the division. It's not like we were playing a good team in form. The shite.
To be honest with you, though, right?
Absolutely appalling.
You look at Burton. When I was going to that Burton game, I said to myself, I did not expect Sunderland to win. I don't know about you. I didn't expect Sunderland to win on the current form, purely because Burton had a plan, right? They have a way of playing, which they proved last year as well when they came to the stadium. Like, they're actually quite, some of the stuff they play is quite pleasing, and they're not superstars playing like this, but they're players that know their roles. You look at the guy that scored the winner, Boyce. I think. He's not a superstar, like he's probably a typical League One player.
He's a Northern Ireland.
Yeah, he's a Northern Ireland international. Yeah, he's a.
So's McLaughlin and so Will Gleig, Will Grigg and Flanagan.
Nah, but like, my point is, like, you look at him and he was head and shoulders above any of our attacking players. And I was watching him thinking, look at him, he's eager for it. And I know sometimes, it's a bit easier away team come to the stage in Malloy and there's no real pressure on you. Sunderland are under pressure to get results and you can play. But they had. I just mentioned Boyce because I thought he played really well on the day. They had energy about them. They had hunger to
Aikens
get on the ball.
As well, the player who played well. I mean,
they had Stephen Quinn, like a little guy in midfield. He dictated the game. He's 33. His legs are gone, but he still managed to dictate the game against our so-called, I know Grant played. He's getting on a bit as well, but our so-called kind of younger player. It's just so frustrating to watch. And like you say, there seemed to be no plan on how you're watching Sunderland play at the minute, and you don't expect any goals to be scored because you don't see how they're going to create chance. Like, to be fair to Will Grigg, it is difficult for him because balls are getting lashed up by Lee Borge, and I think he had his stand finders on for half the game against Burton. But is he being told by the management staff to just launch along? But okay, it's fine if you're launching along up to Quinney or Big Kyler or somebody like that, but it's when you're hitting up to Grigg, who can't run. Well, it looks like he can't run anyway, so it's just horrible, man, and it's sad to see.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Have you ever played for a manager who has been that direct and their instructions said, we want to go along?
Yeah, I played on the team.
So is that an actual, so somebody you've played for managers obviously like look to play the ball for the midfield and stuff, where they actually say, don't do that. We're going to go along, hit the channels, hit the target.
But like
whatever.
The thing is, when you're playing football, right, you can go just going along, like from Lee Boyd picking the ball up and lashing along. That's going along direct. But you can go along in a kind of a pass in a long way. Like for example, look at Liverpool the other night. Did anybody watch them? I know what again talking about one of the best teams in the world at the minute. Their centre halves, the midfield, they're lashing long balls, but they're like the long passes. Whereas Sunderland are just lashing it. Like the lads are just kicking the ball because they're just kicking it and hoping it and. The energy in midfield just isn't there to pick up second balls. You mentioned Maguire there when he plays for me. He looks overweight. He can't get around the pitch. Don't get me wrong. He has quality in and around the box. He can hit a free kick and he scored some really good goals. But he looks fat. As a player, you're looking at him and you're thinking, he shouldn't be like that. He should be energetic, running around, buzzing around. To me, he looks the type of player that thinks, you know what, I'm not up for this. It makes me upset to see it because I'm thinking, Nobody in that squad of players should ever have the divine right to think they're too good to play with. So I think a few of them kind of have a little bit of that about them, and it's just really frustrating. And
none of them would be here if we were in League One. Well, so you know, they should be seeing the opportunity to come to Sunderland as this is the only chance in my career I'm going to get to play for a club. The stature of Sunderland, and like,
did they want to lose so we can stay in League One?
No, but that's
yeah. Never going to play.
This is the thing I mentioned on the BBC Total Sports show there a few weeks back. You're watching them, and you would think that sometimes there's a lot of players out of contract this season. Now I'm not saying this is guaranteed, but sometimes subconsciously as a player you're thinking, you know what, if we don't go up, I might get another year here playing in this great stage and lovely academy swimming pool in the academy. Kind of, it's a cushy little life as a footballer playing. Well, hopefully new roof, you know what I mean? But no, yeah, so I think some of the players, are they going to run through a wall to get promoted? Because ultimately, I think if the club get promoted, the majority of them will be shipped off. Well, I would say, I don't think they're good enough to compete in the championship, this squad of players. That's only my opinion, obviously, but I think some of them might be thinking, you know, if we stay down and it's not the end of the world, we might get another year or two. I don't know.
We're in a position now. We're in a position now where we're talking about Sunderland have a squad that aren't good enough to compete in Division 2, man. That's where we are now. The drop-off between Ross and, I can't remember his name, I'm not unbothered by him, Parkinson. The drop-off between Ross and Parkinson Slaves is that, it's hard not to think that is down to management, isn't it? Because it's been so vast. Like, well, you can't go from losing three games in a year, whatever it was, to the record they're on now, and not think that's something to do with a change in management.
I don't know what the problem is. As I said, like you're looking at there, you're trying to figure out how it can be fixed. Obviously, for me, for a start, I don't like if they lose tomorrow. Sunderland lose tomorrow. I can't see how you can. I know you're saying give January till January comes around, but
would you sack him if we lost tomorrow?
I'd sack him tomorrow. I would like not listen. I just think, nah, because you got it. Sometimes you're waiting and you're hoping, you're waiting. Before you know it, this season will be gone. Like, do we want another? Like, you need somebody to come in and whether the money's there to kind of sack him and bring a new guy in that will be good enough. Like, we don't, like you say, nobody's going to guarantee the club.
We're
promotion.
Loaded, aren't we?
Well, but the thing is, the club needs a lift. The club, for me, I've described, it's a bit of a shit show at the moment, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It is. You're looking at it and you're thinking, and like, you're thinking, what's going to happen? Like, for example, that news coming out today, like, oh, one of the directors is stepping away for personal reasons, if that's the case. We don't know the whole ins and outs, but it's just one thing after another. And it's like, okay, right, all this distraction away on the outside, never mind the pitch, like, yeah, it's not great for the lads that are actually on the pitch as well. It shouldn't affect them, but it seems to be affecting them. And there's no real kind of leadership right from the top of the club right down the middle. It's like, it seems like nobody's taking responsibility. questions are being asked, and it's transparent answers. And I don't know. It's for me, the players, though, ultimately it comes down to the players on the pitch. They're the ones that can affect it. And if this management team that's there at the moment can't get results, then they need to be removed.
But then, you're right, though. Like, who do we bring in? So if Parkinson was the best available, right? He's free, he's available. Who the hell's left? Who is this recruitment team, whether it be players or management, who are they going to find? I know that's not our responsibility as supporters to identify that, but I'd be very worried that the people in charge of the football club actually possibly know less than we do. And I know nothing about League One level managers.
Well, the only thing I would say, after Jack Ross gone and the kind of before Parkinson was appointed, all the name, is there even a plan in place if they get rid of this guy? I'm not sure if there is. Like you say, who does come in? It's a tough question, because to get the guy that comes in has to be some. For me, if we're talking about the manager, if he's not here, he's still here. We've got to have a little bit of respect for him, obviously. But ultimately,
it's not like it's getting recorded or anything.
No, but you're watching the team, and right, okay, we talk about the club being a League One stand. There is players in that team that I think should be performing a little bit better than what they are, right? There is, like we mentioned, for me, Luke O'Neill, right, I don't think he's the greatest player in the world, but I don't think anybody could argue he's been Sunderland's best player over the last 4 or 5 months, and he looks like the only one that really kind of gives a shit out there on the pitch. He is a little bit annoying the way he smiles all the time and stuff like that. But ultimately, on the pitch, like I'd make him captain. I'd make him captain on the pitch, because he's the only one on the pitch that looks like he has anything about him. And if anything, if you go off on what players do on the pitch, then he's your leader on the pitch. And there's no one else in that squad at the minute for me that is putting as much into the games as he is.
I don't know how people react to this, but have you ever come across Ian Holloway before? Or do you know people?
Yeah, I just played against his teams a couple of times. I never walked with
people
him
like that or not? The thing is with Ian
he's
Holloway.
He's a character, isn't he? If anything.
I just think, like, he always speaks well of Sunderland, Ian Holloway, and whenever you listen to his former players and stuff, they always speak and say he makes them feel good about themselves, and I think where we were with Ross, that's what we needed, someone just to polish that up a little bit. He plays in a way where we keep the football. He's got experience in this division. In fact, so you can shake your head and stuff. You can shake your head and stuff, but like, look at Phil Parkinson, right? Teams in what division would have given him a job? League Two, arguably. And we've given him a job. If Ian Holloway was going to get a job next, where would it be? Championship. Which is the division above where we are now, no?
Yeah, Ian Holloway, listen, he's a great character. He done really good things at Blackpool when he was in there. He had spells at some big clubs. So he managed Leicester as well, another big club. So he's experienced in managing a club with pressure on him. So I wouldn't rule him out. But again, the manager's not gone as of yet, so he can't speak.
Put your hand up if you think the manager will be here by January. For the listeners, there's about 6 or 7 people.
Of course he will. Put your hand up now. Of course he will.
We're loaded, man. Did you not hear?
Yeah. We've signed this. Like, I'm sure. I don't know what. Like, he's the references. Blah blah.
He's a loser.
He's been on like the telly, and like all the like pundits are doing that thing where they're like, when they get a manager on like the highlight show or whatever, it's always like, oh, he's such a great guy, and I can't believe he's sitting here. He should be like at this team or that team, whatever. And you see this all the time with like these types of managers, and it's like, oh, I'm delighted that this person's got their opportunity at this club, and all this. It's like, it's not charity, mate. It's like, we're going every week to watch this team, like at Sunderland, at a level well below we've been playing at for in our entire history, and we're expected to like, well, give them a chance. It's not like a. You know, a charity raffle, like give somebody an opportunity to manage a football club for a few months. He's been given a 2.5-year deal, and the criteria for the manager coming in was to get promoted. There's nothing, nobody can deny that was the case. The reason we sat Jack Ross was because it didn't look like he was going to get us automatically promoted, and the reason we brought the manager in apparently was because he can get us promoted. And ultimately, does it look like he's going to get promoted at the moment? Yes or no?
Well, he's not, is he?
No. We're not going up this season. The season's over.
Absolutely no way we're getting promoted.
If he gets us promoted this season,
Go on, say us. Honestly.
What will you do?
Come on, Gareth.
I will eat a tin of cold Wessler's tin burgers if we get promoted this season.
No, we want more than that, mate.
Yeah. I will eat two tins of Wessler's tin burgers cold if we get promoted this season. But, it's playoffs at best.
To be honest with you, it's absolutely playoffs.
Who thinks we'll be in the championship next season?
No, you don't, Chris.
There's one hand up in the room. Well, but.
Yeah. Do you know what? Gareth.
Yeah.
With a different manager or with this one?
The standard of teams, like you look at, there's no great teams. So the fact of the matter is that we're still in touching distance.
It's a lot worse than last season, isn't it?
Why the club is still in touching distance of the playoffs is because of how poor the league is. But Sunderland shouldn't be like in this situation. It's like Sunderland should be like. They should be getting 100 points in this division. Do you know that? They should be able to attract the players to get out of this league. And I know it's all fine. And Leeds spent a few years at this division when they were there for a while. But we don't want to be Leeds, is it? Like, nobody wants to spend years in this division. And I know when they first got into this division, it was a bit of crack, win a few games, new stadiums. Supporters like, what was it, rocking all over League One, bollocks. Like, come on. Do you know what I mean? Like, but ultimately, Sunderland shouldn't be anywhere near this division. It's a huge, huge club. And it's only when you kind of come up and you're part of the club and you see what it means to people here. And that's why I said, going back to the appointment of the manager, there was about time there to appoint somebody that got the club a little bit. The club needed a lift, right? Parkinson, for me, was the wrong decision to make.
The club needed a lift?
No, but like, what I'm saying... But I'm saying...
You're not on that bandwagon as well, are you?
Good one, Gary, yeah. No, but I'm saying the club, it was a chance to make a real statement there to the club, getting the balance right, getting somebody in that has a bit of passion about them, a real passion to get everybody on side again, to lift the place, as well as having a bit of a plan how to play. And ultimately, from what we've seen so far, this guy couldn't be any way further from that.
Is charisma important to people in your manager? I was careful of asking that because it sounds a bit cliched almost, doesn't it? But it is, isn't it? And when you look at Parkinson now, you look at Moyes and you look at Wilkinson, don't you? That level of charisma. And that turned out well in both cases.
Well, Sleeves, obviously we're 11 games in now, right? And you've been in plenty of dressing rooms. You've been moved around all over the place.
Plenty of relegation teams.
Yeah, plenty of relegation battles and all that. Not being picked in plenty of relegation battles. What's the soonest you've seen someone come in and everyone go, no?
Oh, Darren Ferguson at Preston. He just came in like Alan Irvine had been sacked when he was at Preston. Darren Ferguson, I think he's...
Peterborough
now, back at Peterborough for his
fourth
stint. But I've never seen anybody come in and lose a dressing room the way he did. Like,
how quickly?
Literally 2 days. Seriously, he came in. He came into the dressing room. Like, at Preston, right, there was a... We just failed in the playoffs the season before he'd come in, and we got knocked out in the semi-final of the championship playoffs. So, and we, Alan Irvine, who was a manager at the time, a bit of a boring guy, bored of life out here chatting, but he had a game plan, and he was all right, as long as you didn't get stuck in a lift with him, do you know what I mean? but he was a good manager, and obviously there was a lot of interest in him after that season, because he'd obviously done well. We're a decent, and we were okay championship team. Looking back, we're actually a very good team. But you never, like, when you're playing in a team, you believe in yourself, but you always think it's going to be tough. But we had some really good championship players, like there was like myself, like Neil Mellor, like there was a few Sean St. Ledger, decent squad of players, Chris Sedgwick, who done well, Paul McKenna. But this guy came in, Darren Ferguson, and he's one of these guys that just tried to make a statement too soon. So he basically wanted to bring in all his own players, and he basically told all the senior lads, listen, I think they wanted to get a bit of a wage cut on the club at that time, but he told, there was a way of doing things, like, fair enough, you can kind of filter players out, because we weren't doing that bad, we got off to a poor enough start, but there was a great kind of camaraderie in the dressing room. But this guy came in, and basically said to the senior lads, myself included, listen, we don't want you here, we don't want you part of the team. And he actually built a little dressing room for us in the whole washer-dryer room. So we actually got rid of the washing machine and the dryer, and he put a little bench in, and we all had to go and get changed there in the little room.
So once he told you he didn't want you anymore, he stuck you in a different room?
Oh, yeah, stuck in a different room. We weren't even training with the first team. We were having to train with the U team for a few weeks. It was abysmal, really. That was why ultimately he's down for. But anyway, we used to obviously have the train and all that. He brought in a few players, but he really lost the club there. He didn't realise at the time he brought in the lads that he was getting rid of, but the backbone of the camaraderie and the crack of the, not that that's the be all and end all, but it does help, if you have players in the dressing room that are happy together, and he upended that straight away. And he tried to be his dad. He kind of in as if he had this aura, as if he was like Sir Alex Ferguson, but everybody was just looking and going, what a fucking wanker this guy is. Honestly, I think he was horrible, but like him, he lost us, and ultimately he got rid of all the senior lads, and Preston got relegated that year, right enough. Do you know what I mean? Down to League One. So I think you can that could have went the other way. He could have brought new lads in and he could have went flying, but it didn't happen. But I see a little bit of that. This, not saying Phil Parkinson is much of a fucking dickhead as a... What's his name again? Fergie Junior was. You don't know. But the thing is, for me, it just the proof's in the pudding. 11 games, 2 wins in this level. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for this club.
We're playing
a team
on the weekend who we had no shots against.
120 minutes a couple of weeks ago. Wait, Gillingham.
But I think the other thing. What was that? But it was a higher level, wasn't it? But when Allardyce came in, he came in off the back of a manager who wasn't doing well. Ross had a much better win rate than this guy.
2 out of 10, 3 out of 11
is
like
seeing
a ballpark,
isn't
it?
But
Sam Allardyce had charisma.
I know you're saying, but it is context, because there's a decline, though. So when you're already losing every week, and then it's 3 out of 11, it was even or slight progression.
And you have to remember,
now it's there, and it's gone like that.
People won't accept 2 or 3 out of 11 under Sam Allardyce, who's a proven manager in the Premier League. So why are people willing to accept 2 out of 11 in League One? That would be my question. I'm not saying that people who are defending are willing to accept, by the way, because people will say you've got to give people opportunity to get their own. But then I would argue you've got to earn your transfer window. You can't just be like, well, I'll write off 3 months and then I'll bring in some players, which, again, going back to the point of changing the manager, you can't guarantee that a manager's going to come in, apparently, even though managers can guarantee promotion now. You can't guarantee that he's going to get promoted. So how are you going to guarantee that he's going to sign the players he wants? You can't. January's the hardest window to sign players in.
The thing is as well, there's a lot of players in this Sunderland squad that, for me, haven't got a future at the club, and they're obviously picking up a bit of a wage here, and I would presume that to bring new players in, the club are going to have to ship out some of the squad, because it's a big enough squad. But who's going to touch any of these players on probably what the wages they're earning here?
It's funny, I mean, the parallels, the parallels are strong with when we were in the Premier League, but we're in League One. It's the same conversation. Who's going to take these players off our hands? Have we got any money to buy these players?
Jack Rodwell available in January?
Yes. Are we gonna be able to do this? Are we gonna do it? It's the same questions. Our recruitment needs to be better. Every time it's like we drop down the Championship. Oh well, our recruitment players will kill to come to Sunderland and have an opportunity to play for us. Our recruitment's going to be better. And then at League One, we'll be able to waltz the league this year. We'll be able to sign this player. We're going to sign the best players in the league. And to be fair, we did bring in Will Grigg, who many would argue would be a marquee signing for any club at this level, but it hasn't worked. And we did, when we spoke to Will, we did say, if it doesn't go well, Pete will go on your back.
Well, you did.
Well, yeah,
you
did, yeah.
Scared him into being as shit as he is, I think. What we're going to say is, because I know people have got questions and stuff like that, we're going to have a break now. If you can get them down, so we're going to come around with quiz sheets and stuff and some blank bits of paper, or you can just know your own question, but please try and have some for sleeves, because the second part is you going to be asking questions. I would say to the panel, but it's going to be for sleeves, isn't it? So asking questions for sleeves.
The second part won't be recorded either if you listen to this.
Yeah.
So this means that next time you think, oh well, just listen to it, you need to come down, because the juicy bits are in the some of the stuff Sleeves has been telling us he's going to say in the second half are obscene.
It's all coming off his chest.
He's saying
And we're going to have a quiz.
I can't repeat it while it's being recorded.
Somebody buy him a double JD if you want to see him come to life.
It's like Hollyoaks.
We're
going to
do a quiz in
dark.
The break now. Thanks for listening. We'll come back soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.